We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Peyton. Back here on Sean and RJ on 105 Through the Fan. Sean Sharif out today. So you got Bobby Belt, RJ Choppy. Of course, Peyton Russell, you just heard there. And then back there on the video, we've got Ryan Cotrere. We are going to now talk a little bit of Major League Baseball. Rangers opening day is less than a week away. Big weekend, man. Like we got opening day for the Rangers, and then I believe the Saturday game will be on Fox, and then the Sunday game is going to be on ESPN for Sunday Night Baseball. So Rangers getting a lot of shine after two off seasons of a lot of big moves. We'll get the thoughts of CJ Nitkowski here on those moves and a number of the other changes here with Major League Baseball. CJ, of course, a former top 10 pick MLB pitcher, including for the Rangers. He is now the Texas Rangers lead TV color analyst with additional play-by-play games and co-host of Loud Outs on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM. You can follow him on Twitter at CJ Nitkowski. CJ, how you doing?
Bobby, RJ, I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. I got to ask, because I know it was an ongoing bit with our station when we were out there. They would they'd ask the guys in the clubhouse, like, hey, what do you have to say to Jared Sandler? And they would all just tee off on him. So I'm just curious, is there anything you want to pass on to Jared Sandler? Anything about how short he is? His temper being as short as his height.
Two height jokes. Why are you going for shoe size now?
I run out of them after a while. But CJ, anything you'd like to say to good old Jared Sandler?
Yeah, tell him just to exhale and relax. He's done a great job, man. We love him so much. He's fantastic. I feel grateful to have gotten to know him over these last, now I guess going on year 7. He's so passionate about what he does, and we have great conversations both on and off the air. And we are very lucky to have him. And in a weird turn of events, certainly not what anybody was hoping for, but we're going to get to hear him some more on the radio with Eric taking a little bit of time for himself as he gets healthy. And so Ranger fans are lucky they're going to hear him a lot more this year.
Absolutely. He's very good. He's very good. He's very short, like we said. CJ, what were your thoughts? You know, the World Baseball Classic seemed to be a huge success this time around. I mean, it's something that's been growing in popularity the last several times it's been done, but it really seemed to take off this time. And everybody got really invested in it. It seemed to be more of a TV hit than it has been at any other point. What were your general takeaways on the World Baseball Classic? And I guess specifically, I'm curious, your thoughts on how we had several of these players sustain injuries in it and that how you weigh that as an organization?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. The Rangers were pretty fortunate that they only had a handful of players that participated and everybody got back and they were healthy. As far as the success of the WBC, I think a couple of things. One, we haven't had it in 6 years. You know, it was set up originally to be every three, but we haven't had one since 2017. And as somebody who was fortunate enough to experience some international baseball in Korea and Japan and the Dominican Republic, it's one of the greatest gifts to baseball fans, but even to baseball players, to play with players from around the world, but then to bring that here in the WBC and our fans get to see how other fans watch the game. Right, you see these atmospheres that are going on, that were in Miami, that were in Phoenix, when you get the Latin American countries, but then also the countries from Asia. It's a different kind of feel. I tell people all the time, just from playing overseas, it has a little bit more of an international soccer feel. And I think the excitement surrounding that, then you put on top of it pride of country for all of these countries. They want to be the ones standing there at the end. And we get a guy like Mike Trout, who's captain of Team USA, showing some pretty incredible emotion that we don't see from him all the time. by playing for the Angels, and they've struggled to get to the postseason, so they haven't played that many meaningful games over the course of his career. And then that ending, it was so ridiculous. Like, you could not have come up with a better ending on paper. Rob Manfred must have been beside himself watching Shohei Ohtani face Mike Trout to finish things off between Team Japan and Team USA. And, of course, he struck him out. So he did, and he ends up winning. And Team Japan ends up winning a third WBC in 5 years, or the five that we've had. But I think there's a real appetite for it. I asked Martin Perez yesterday. I said, man, if you had your choice of throwing a complete game shutout in the WBC final or Game 7 of the World Series, you know, which one would you take? And I know it's tough to compare, but I'm just kind of curious for a guy like him and all the pride from Team Venezuela that they have. He goes, man, I'll take 5 innings of one and 4 innings of the other. Like, he couldn't answer it. And I understand why he couldn't answer it, but that's how much it means to these guys. It was great television. I think it's really good for the growth of the game, which we need very badly. The injuries are brutal. Jose Altuve is going to miss a couple of months. Edwin Diaz closing for the New York Mets is going to miss the whole year. It's awful. Nobody wants to see that, especially with Diaz getting hurt in a celebration. So that part really stinks. There's nothing you can do about it. It's the risk that you take, and guys make decisions of whether or not they want to play. And we've seen enough of it. You can get hurt not playing in the WBC.
Yeah, we see that all the time. Why do you think it seems like this had more interest than the one in 2017? It just seems like this one was way more watched, consumed, attended. It's just because it's, you know, we're further down the line. We've had five of them now.
I guess it's a good question, man, because you're right. And, you know, what was so special about this one compared to others? Perhaps it was more attention on it. Perhaps it was the fact that we have more stars coming from these countries. The fact that Shohei Ohtani was playing in it, quite honestly, that Mike Trout was playing in it. We had tons of big guys. We didn't have maybe our best pitchers for Team USA, the top guys. Obviously, Jacob DeGrom here with the Rangers first year, of course, wants to go through camp, doesn't want to miss time. You know, Nate Evaldi actually wanted to participate in the WBC, but part of it is also insurance. Right? They're going to be insured not necessarily by the team, but by the league in the WBC. And in the case of Edwin Diaz, as an example, the Mets are not paying his salary this year. It's going to be Major League Baseball paying his nearly $20 million salary because he got hurt in the WBC. So we didn't get the best of the best, but we got some pretty good ones. So I think there was probably that part of it as well, that Team USA lineup was absurd. When you have Trey Turner batting ninth, and a guy who ends up hitting 5 home runs in the tournament and setting a record, I think that had something to do with it. But, you know, it's the country versus country stuff. And then kind of the upsets that you get in Puerto Rico making a run and seeing some of these smaller countries trying to make it interesting. So I'm not sure if there was just one thing. I think the participation was a big part of it, and the media coverage was another.
CJ Nitkowski, Texas Rangers lead TV color analyst, talking with us here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. Before we jump into some specifics about the Rangers and what's coming up with them, one more question here. You know, we saw the Aaron Judge home run race last year brought a lot of positive attention to baseball. We're obviously sitting here talking about the World Baseball Classic. Forbes yesterday came out with the most valuable teams in 2023, and MLB team values are up about 12% across the league. You know, there's a lot of excitement about the Rangers with their acquisitions and things like that. Does it feel like to you, especially with some of the excitement about these rule changes too, does it feel to you like baseball, Major League Baseball, is in a healthier place in terms of fan engagement and interest than it's been in a really long time?
I think so, and I hope so, because we need it, right? We had the COVID season, the shortened season of just 60 games. We had the CBA and the lockout and getting things started late last year. And it's nice to put all of that behind us, have a really big season from a guy like Judge, and then here locally what we're doing with the Rangers. It feels like this has been the biggest season. I guess this is year maybe 11 for me, I believe, you know, working in media. This does feel like it's the biggest one. Now, I think also the local tie-in with the Rangers had something to do with that as well. But I would agree. I feel like 2023 is the season that we have been waiting for. More teams engaged, I think, as well. Right? You talk about some of the rule changes that we're going to see on the field, but also with that new CBA. And there's still going to be teams that are, you know, not trying, essentially. I don't necessarily think we're tanking, but not putting the resources behind their club. But I think we're seeing less of that. We're doing a pretty good job. Baseball hasn't been great about marketing their stars, but I think we're doing a better job of that. And there's a lot of really good young ones. I think that's part of it as well. Guys like Julio Rodriguez and others that we're seeing start to emerge and become stars and show some personality, add to the excitement of what's going on with our game as well. So, you know, everything, when I say not everything, most of the things have been relatively positive. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think there's something special about this season. It feels like everything's going in the right direction. And if these rules play out the way that they hope that they do, we should have a more entertaining product.
One specific rule, the pitch clock. Is this something you're in favor of? And do you like the tweaks? You know, because they made the kind of the rule the other day where if pitcher's covering first, you don't start the next batter clock until, you know, he's back closer to the mound. What's your take on all this?
Yeah, so I do like them so far. I was a little bit concerned. I know some of the guys necessarily didn't love them, but we know that they'll get used to them because they're not going to go away. Our first game that we had was on Monday on television, an hour and 54 minutes for a 2-0 game.
Wow.
I mean, that's absurd. You're talking about, you know, the Rangers a year ago in spring were averaging, I believe it was 3 hours and 11 minutes per game. That's about the game time during the regular season. Now, we're not going to see sub 2-hour games, you know, maybe one or two over the course of the year. But just the idea if we can even trim this thing down, and it's not just about game time, but if we can trim it down to, you know, 240, 245 even on the high end, it's more about the pace and the action. And last year we went nearly 4 minutes in between batted balls getting put in play. It's too slow. I mean, you guys watch it. I love the game. I watch it too. And there's times where I'm like, my goodness, we got to pick this up. And so I think forcing these guys to do that has been really good. Something that I'm hoping that they will tweak that I don't think they will. You know, they told us, I watched multiple presentations before we got to spring training about the rules and how they're going to play and making sure the broadcasters understood everything. And they said, listen, there's going to be a game that ends on a pitch clock violation. And we saw it early in spring training, and it's awful. Like, that, to me, can't happen, especially if it's an important game. I mean, can you imagine the Rangers having a shot to get to the postseason and Adolis Garcia gets called out with a tying run on second base and the game's over because he can get back in the box in time? Like, that should not happen. I'd love to see it go away in the ninth inning. I was using the example of what we saw at the very end of the WBC. They weren't playing under those rules, but the last two pitches when Shohei Ohtani struck out Mike Trout, there were 30 seconds in between each. The rule's 15, right? But nobody would care because those are huge moments, and you're wrapped up in that moment. And when you're watching on television, directors and producers and cameramen do such a great job of giving us the shots that bring those moments to life. We don't need it in the ninth inning. It's not going to change, and I probably just need to let it go. But I'd like to see it go away in the ninth inning. Other than that, it's been great. The pace has been really good, and I think fans are going to enjoy it.
Obviously, last season, a lot of money, a lot of capital invested for the Rangers in, you know, the middle infield and you know, trying to beef up the lineup. This year, a focus on the pitching, the rotation specifically. And, I mean, it's obviously just spring training, but it's still – pretty exciting. You look at the, you know, you just go ahead and look at the line scores from spring training. And when you see John Gray, Nathan Eovaldi, Jacob DeGrom, and it's like, well, they've combined for 27 innings and given up zero earned runs and struck out 24, walked four. It makes you feel good about the rotation. Your general thoughts about the rotation, and I guess specifically one thing that I'm excited about is what looks like a return to the normal velocity for Eovaldi, who it looks like has been hit like 99 after he had taken a dip the last couple of years.
Yeah, he finished the season healthy. Jacob DeGrom finished the season healthy. I think that is what we're seeing kind of carry over. So, yeah, we got some big numbers for these guys. Either one of those guys could pitch at the top of the rotation. It is really nice right now. This is something we've been waiting for a while. You know, Jacob Arizzi's hurt right now. He's dealing with some shoulder fatigue, but that's a sixth starter, an established big league starter who would be in the sixth spot right now. So the Rangers have depth. They also have depth from some of the younger pitchers that we saw last year that will be ready to go if a need arises during the year. Hopefully it doesn't. But this is a playoff-caliber rotation. You know, a healthy Jacob DeGrom is the best in the game, and we'll actually have him on Saturday tomorrow. That's our last television game here from Arizona. He's starting that game. So if you want to get your first look at Jacob DeGrom, that'll be tomorrow afternoon on Valley Sports Southwest. So it's exciting, man. This guy's so legit. But it's the depth. And so perhaps maybe it's some closer games, a little more pressure on the offense, and it's a good offense, but a little bit more pressure maybe on the bullpen as well here early on. But this is probably as good of a rotation as we have seen, at least on paper, assuming that Martin can kind of repeat what he did a year ago. I mean, he was incredible. Healthy John Gray, he might be the sleeper, quite honestly, in this rotation, him and Andrew Heaney, because we're talking about everybody else. Heaney did a really nice job with the Dodgers and kind of made some adjustments to his repertoire. So there's a lot to be excited about. This is legit. I know sometimes we get a little bit overexcited looking for optimism or looking for the reasons to be optimistic. They make it very easy with what's going on in this rotation this year.
So it's safe to say that you disagree that ESPN and ranked Jake DeGrom as like the 16th best pitcher in baseball.
Is that where they put him?
Yes.
Rankings, you know, we all do it, right? I do it in radio. You guys do it, I'm sure. You get people worked up a little bit. It creates phone calls and it creates comments and hits and everything else. Listen, when healthy, he's right there. He's one or two in the game. I'll be 35 years old this year. And he really, and again, Ranger fans will get a good look at him. Those four pitches, but it's essentially two. I mean, it's fastball, slider. He's been at triple digits, and he does it so free and easy, and there's so much carry on that fastball, and you'll see it. He just dominates away to righties and to lefties. He makes it look so easy. So, no, I would not agree with the fact that if somebody even put him where double digits when it came to ranking Jacob DeGrom.
Texas Rangers lead TV color analyst CJ Nitkowski, also the co-host of Loud Outs on MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM. You can follow him on Twitter, at CJ Nitkowski. CJ, thank you so much, and give Sandler some noogies for us.
Oh, he left already, so I'm going to have to wait till I see him. It won't be until, yeah, he left terribly. I can't come back. I've been here for 4 days, but he's put in some work here, so he probably deserves a little rest. But now I look forward to seeing him, and man, look forward to the year. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it, CJ. CJ Nitkowski. Coming up next, the KNC Masterpiece is on remote location today, as we've talked about. Let's see if Mike Bacsik remembered that he's supposed to lead Crosstalk. Crosstalk with KNC Masterpiece next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.